everybody. Welcome here to the PAC Podcast. It is, let's see. Oh, I know when it is. It's the 22nd of December in the year of our Lord, 2025. And Christmas is literally the day after tomorrow. Christmas Eve is the day after tomorrow. I hope you're ready. And this year has flown by at supersonic speed. And we're glad to have you with us on the Panic Podcast. My name is Mike. I'm your online Bible study buddy. And we're, guess where we are in the Bible today? If you guessed the Gospel of John, you are right. We are back in the Gospel of John today. And we'll get started in just a second. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. You know, that can be a very depressing song, but that arrangement is kind of joyful and it's kind of cheerful. And I like it. So how's your week been? How was your weekend, I should say? We had a great week away last week. We were down at Myrtle Beach. We went and had a nice little mini vacation, which was really, really nice. But we're back here today, back in the cold temperatures. Actually, it's not too bad for this time of year, really. And looks like we're going to have a green Christmas. That's good. That makes me feel good. As a matter of fact, it looks like the weather is going to be really nice right through till the end of the year. According to the long-range forecast, I hope it holds. Well, let's take a look at John chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 to 13 today. John chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When the Word that existed from the very beginning became flesh and came to our earth to dwell among us, when the light that illuminated the life of every person came to the world that he himself created, he wasn't always well received. Now, initially, when the Lord Jesus came and began his earthly ministry, you know, he had many, many, many disciples. I mean, just think about the day that he fed over 5,000 men. That's not including their wives, their children. I mean, that's a lot of followers. Now, but a follower or a disciple isn't necessarily a committed believer. And the ultimate response to Jesus wasn't generally positive. You know, we see a lot of that today. People find Jesus to be a very interesting person. They love his moral teachings, like the Sermon on the Mount, things like that. But they haven't made the leap from, being an interested follower to a committed follower. God's plan of salvation affirmed the need in all human beings that they need to be saved from their sins. And he sent his son, described in the prologue to John's gospel, as the Word. He sent the Word to our earth for the dual purposes of redeeming God and, revealing God and redeeming mankind. and expressed in John's prologue as light and life. But as I said, the response from most people wasn't very good. Now, after a 3-verse description of the person who came to bear witness to the light, that is John the Baptist, and a disclaimer that John the Baptist was not the light himself, but was instead a witness to the light, the great prologue in John's Gospel returns to the description of the Word that became flesh. Now, the portion that I read today, verses 9 to 13, describes the response that the world of lost people gave to the light of God. Generally, it was a negative response. He came to his own earth, to his own people, and was generally rejected by them. But there was also a positive response because some did accept him, and to them he gave the privilege of becoming the very children of God. So let's talk about this. Now, John traces the active presence of the light, or the Word, in creation, but especially in Israel. He speaks of creation at large. The true light enlightens everyone. And verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to everyone, everyone was coming into the world. Now, that's a very interesting thought to me, and I want to spend just a second on it. All human beings are illumined by the divine light. All human beings from the days of creation. Now, even before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Even before that, all human beings are illumined by the divine light. In our capacity to reason, to discern the truth, every human being, redeemed or not, is born with the image of God in him, the breath of life. See, this is what separates us from the animals. Now, I love animals. I love all of nature. I love my dog. I love Huey. He's a great boy. But he can't reason. Boy, that's the truth. When you see him, he cannot reason. He doesn't have intelligence like we have intelligence. He can't discern things. Only human beings can do that because we bear the image of God in us. As much as I love Huey, he doesn't bear God's image. And God breathed the breath of life into man only. Man became a living soul. So, this is something Thomas Aquinas teaches, and I agree with him. He said, listen to this wonderful quote here. The light of natural reason itself is a participation in the divine light. Our natural ability to know the truth, whereby we discern what is good and what is evil, is nothing else than an imprint on us of the divine light. So in a general sense, I think we can say that human beings are able to know the truth, and they're able to discern good from evil. And those are gifts from God. But John is writing about something different here in his prologue. He's writing about something particular. Because the world preferred to ignore his light, the world did not know him. Let me read that again. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. It's kind of a heartbreaking thing when you read it. I mean, the world was created through the Word, the living Word, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And yet when the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us, his very creation didn't recognize him. Right? The world preferred to turn away from the light rather than embracing the light. God chose to shed his light brightly on a particular people, the people of Israel.
the one who existed from before the beginning of time itself, came into this world at a particular place on the globe, Bethlehem in Israel, and at a particular time in history. Jesus came to the place he created, to the place that he had a right to possess, and those who inhabited it turned him away in rejection. But he came. You know, God loves all people, all races of people. But it was through a particular people, the Jew, that God revealed himself. God loves all the families of the earth, but in a particular family, that is the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God worked out his love. God delivers all people from the bondage of sin, but in a particular event, the Exodus event, God showed his power of deliverance. God existed for all time, created the world, sought to reconcile sinning, rebelling mankind to himself. But in a particular person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, God made this known to all people. What God had been trying to get across to all mankind was experienced in Jesus Christ. The great eternal truths that mankind had rejected could now be seen and heard in one person. People could see the light that shone brightly in our world by the coming of Christ into the world. Each person now had the potential of having his life illuminated by that particular light. The particularity of God's love, of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's forgiveness, and his acceptance of us became evident when the light that was the Word that came into our dark world that he had created in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because that personal, particular light came into the world. But we also see something else that's interesting to me. John, in his gospel, is very, very careful to show the continuity of the Word that existed before the beginning began to begin, and the personality that we know as Jesus Christ. The Christ, who was born into the world at that first Christmas time, was not at all different from the God who had always existed. He was that God. There was a continuity of his existence. As a matter of fact, he was in the world already. He'd always been in the world. But in the birth of that baby in Bethlehem, the one who had always been in the world took on a particular personality that we could see and know. Not only was this personality one of continuity, that is to say, the same God who had always been in the world had come into the world as a baby, but it also showed creativity. This baby was the same God who had created the world. God who created the world came into it by the birth of Christ. I mean, that boggles the mind, doesn't it? No wonder those angels sang. No wonder that star shone brightly. It was a time for great joy and wonder. Not only had the Savior had been born, but the Creator of all there is condescended to come into the world that he created. That's phenomenal. That's something that is without precedent. The Word, who had always been in the world, who had in fact created the world, was now introduced to the world. He became close to the people that he created. He could be seen by people. He could be heard by people. He could be touched by people. That's a very interesting thing too. You know, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they walked with God and talked with God. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into our world restored that ability of man to have that kind of close, intimate relationship with the Creator God. And this was something that John really tried to get across to his readers. There was a belief in his day, and I'm going to digress a little bit here. I can already see some of your eyes kind of glazing over. Just hang tough. This won't take long, I promise. But there was a belief in John's day that matter was evil, and that the God who was good, was all good, could not have created a world composed of all this evil matter. So they came up with the brilliant idea that there were a series of emanations from God down to the one who was so far removed from God that he could deal in the evil stuff of matter. In other words, Jesus was an emanation from God. He wasn't really God in the flesh. He was like an image of God. I'm not even describing this very well. It's a heresy. But here John in his gospel goes to great lengths to show that the ever-existent God not only created matter, but he actually took on flesh. He became matter. He was in the world, John writes, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. When he had a body and a personality, he could be seen and touched and known by people. God was personified. God took on a personality that we could relate to. And God had taken on the personality of Jesus when the Word became flesh. This is such a unique and powerful occurrence that it has no precedent in nature. You know, verse 1, back in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, right? Referring to his permanent condition, he was the Word. And yet verse 14 tells us the Word became flesh. And that involved a change of state. And this is the basic statement of the incarnation. The day when the glorious Son of God entered a new dimension of existence through the gateway of human birth and took up his residence among men. He left the glories of heaven, his usual dwelling place, and accepted the conditions of human life and environment with all the limitations we human beings experience. Of course, he did that without sinning. I should throw that in there. And John indicates here that he's not speculating on some crazy concept like the Greeks loved to do. That was their thing, coming up with wild philosophies that you couldn't prove or disprove. But John says that he's bearing witness to an experiential reality, right? We have seen his glory, John wrote. Our Lord's incarnation. Listen to me, and listen to me carefully. Get close to your phones and listen. Our Lord's incarnation was the full manifestation of grace and truth, because it was the greatest possible expression of God's compassion for people and his longing to get close to the people he created. And the most perfect way of conveying that truth to their understanding. Now, there's a very practical result from God's taking on human flesh and becoming a person in Jesus Christ. And it's this. Everyone, every single human being ever born is confronted with the Christ and forced to make a choice. See, the light that can illuminate every life in the world has to be received. God didn't force himself on the world, nor does he force himself into anybody's life. A practical decision must be made. Now, one response, a very common one, unfortunately, is that a person can simply reject Christ. And of course, it's the gutless response of all. I mean, it takes no courage to turn away from the light. It's easy to refuse the life that he offers through faith. And most people, let's face it, most people are lazy. And they'll take the easiest path. And the easiest path is simply to ignore the light. Turn a blind eye to the light. And this is what the prologue of John's gospel expressed. Christ came into a world he created, but the world wouldn't have anything to do with him. He came to the people he had made and to whom he had made himself known, but his own people did not receive them, or most of them did not receive him. But as I said, some people respond positively. They did when Jesus came. The first time you had some people respond positively. They accepted Christ for who he is, and that happens today. Some people actually respond positively to the message Christ has. They respond positively to the light that he is, and they respond positively to the life, the new life he offers. In three repetitious phrases, John makes it known that those who accept Christ have been given the right to become the children of God. Those who become the children of God do so by the miraculous means of the new birth, not by human will or effort. Like, you can't educate yourself into becoming a Christian. You can't. I mean, you can't become a Christian just because your mom and dad want you to become a Christian. Or because you had people, your granddad was a pastor or something. It is through God's grace and God's grace alone that people can know redemption. You can't earn it. You cannot earn it. Good deeds are not what saves you. You become part of God's family by grace through faith. There has to be a response to God's plan of salvation. Now, I hope you've made the positive response and have accepted the Christ who has affirmed you by coming into your world and giving his life for you. I hope that you have. My prayer is that you have. If you haven't, Christmas time is a wonderful time to acknowledge the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't keep him in a manger. He only stayed a baby for a little while. And the next time Jesus comes, he's returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you want to know him that way. You don't want to know him as a baby. You want to know him as your Savior, as your Lord. All right. Okay. That's it for today. Now, we'll be back on Wednesday with our, another podcast, Christmas themed podcast. So be sure to tune in Wednesday. Lord willing, we'll be here. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day today. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, you're hopeless. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Panic Podcast today. See you Wednesday, Lord willing.